We're holding the top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Mishnah says, Nishan Nizrak Olav Echa Min Adamim. Suppose that a Nazir had the blood of one of his korbanos, or two of them for that matter, sprinkled for him, the Nitma, and then he became Tameh. Rabbi Yezu says he's going to lose everything. Now, on the face of it, it sounds like it means all the days, but the Gemara is going to ask on that, but we learned before that Rabbi Yezu says that any time he becomes Tomei after Malois, after the completion of the days of his Naziros, then he only loses the 7 days that he needs to become Tahir. So what he means, Soyser Sakol, we'll see in the Gemara. He brings the rest of his korbanos and he becomes tahor. In other words, they're saying that the korbanos that is, we're going to see in the Gemara that even Rabbi Eliezer doesn't mean that he loses the time. Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold that he loses the korbanos that he brought so far, that those don't count. Whereas the Chachamim are saying that when he becomes tahor, then he can bring the rest of the korbanos.
So he brought the korbanos when he was tahor?
So he brought the korbanos, he started bringing them when he was tahor. Then, after they sprinkled the blood of one of the korbanos, he became tahor. So that's the thing. So the Chachamim, we learned before, hold that you don't need kol ha'maisim. We learned in the connection with the previous Mishnah, that they don't hold that you need to do everything just as long as you did one of the maisim, in this particular case, bringing one of the korbanos, then that's good enough. Then already he's allowed to drink wine, he's allowed to become tamei mes, etc. So therefore, by the same token, then they would say, okay, he does have to make up the korbanos yet, but the bringing of the first korban already made him mutter to drink wine and so on and so forth. Therefore, we can't say that he should lose anything that he brought so far. The one korban that he brought so far, it was sprinkled, the blood was sprinkled, he was still tahor, very good. At that point, his naziris is over. Now he has the rest of his korbanos to bring. Fine, he has to wait till he becomes tahor, then he can bring them. Actually, the Keren Ora points out that why should it even be necessary for him to become tahor in order to bring them? On the face of it, we do have a concept that when a person is tamei, he obviously can't come into the Bais Hamikdash himself, but he can send his korbanos with a third party to the Bais Hamikdash. Given that over here his nazirus is over, and it's just that he has to make up the korbanos that he has yet to bring, why should it even be necessary for him to become tahor before he brings them? But nevertheless, that's what the Mishnah is saying. So he does have to do the waving, fine, but you could talk about, so fine, but first of all, we said before the waving is not active, according to the Chachamim. Anyway, Rabbi Eliezer, who held that you need to do everything, including all three korbanos and the shaving, well, then therefore he says, if you brought only one korban and then he became tamei, well, then no good, your nazirus is not over yet. Therefore, he's going to say that, therefore, the korban that was brought so far doesn't count.
It doesn't count as one?
Doesn't count as the one korban that he was supposed to bring. So in other words, we would consider as if he brought that korban during the time of his nazirus rather than after his nazirus is over. So fine, he's not going to, if he already shaved, then fine, he's going to need a few more days in order for hair to start growing back. He said, according to Eliezer, he needs 7 days, just enough local ferocial ikra, just enough the hair will grow enough that they'll be able to bend over the tip to touch the root. Fine, but the point is, in other words, that the korban that he brought so far, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say is not good. Doesn't matter which one it was, whichever one it was. The point is that he says it doesn't count, and he's going to have to bring that korban over again next time. So the Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer, we'll bring you a proof for our opinion. It happened with Miriam from Talmud. Talmud is the name of a place. The Gemara, we learned about it in Yevamos actually a while back, it was a city, it was originally founded, or at least expanded by Shlomo HaMelech. The Goyim who lived there turned out to be very disloyal and very ungrateful to the Jewish people, and they assisted in Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Sheni. So the Gemara says over there, you're not supposed to accept Gerim from them, but here we're talking about the Pashtos, a Jewish woman who lived in that town, and now she became a Nazira, and now she came to Yerushalayim to bring her korbanos. Anyway, shenizrak alei echem min adamim. So one of the blood of one of her korbanos was sprinkled on her behalf. Uvov omru la albita shahoisim asukenes. Then they came, people came and told her that her daughter was dangerously sick. So she left to go and visit her. The whole home matzah shemesa. She went and she found that she had passed away. Well, then now she became tameh from her daughter's body. The Omru Chachamim, and the Chachamim of that generation said, and of course this was back when the Bais Mikdash was standing, Tovi Shav Korbanisei Avatitar, she just has to bring the rest of her Korbanis after she becomes Tahor. So now, in a later generation, when the Chachamim are arguing on this with Eliezer, you see that the Chachamim of that earlier generation told her to just bring the rest of her Korbanis later on, implying therefore that that's the Halacha, not like you're saying that the Korban that was brought so far doesn't count. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Katani Rav Eliezer and Asoyses Hakol." So you're saying in the Mishnah, Rav Eliezer says that he loses everything. Now, of course, the assumption of Soyser throughout the Masechta, we've been using the word Soyser to mean losing the time. That in other words, the time that he did of Nazir so far doesn't count, or part of it doesn't count, and he has to start over, or he has to make up certain days. But what do you mean? For Amar Rav Eliezer, Kol Acham Alois Shiva Soyser. Doesn't Rav Eliezer say that, we learned several times in the Masechta, that if the person became Tomei after Malois, after the 30 days or however long the Nazirus was supposed to last, then Rav Eliezer says he loses only 7 days. And in fact, Tosfos adds that earlier in the Masechta, they learned that even that would only be Midrabanan. So what are you telling me that, so what is Rav Eliezer saying? Soser is a call. Now it is true, fine, okay, he has to wait till he's Tahor again, we can say, because fine, he does have to waive the Korbanos, let's say, fine, but nonetheless, the point is, why should he be losing everything, which is what Soser Sakol implies? So the answer is, Omar Rab, my Soser, Nami, to call me Rabbi Eliezer. You should know, when Rabbi Eliezer uses the word Soser, he doesn't mean the usual sense of Soser that we've been using throughout the Masechta. All he means is Soser, Korbanoser. He means that he loses the Korbanos that he brought so far. So in other words, that the whichever Korban he brought, he's going to have to bring over again after he becomes Tahor.
It sounds like to me you have to bring all four right away together.
So it's only, all three, but yeah. Sorry. All three, yeah. The Mefarish actually brings another possibility that it can be that when we say Sosa Korbanosa, it would mean that it would mean that he loses whichever Korban he brought so far. But then the Mefarish brings another possibility. It means that even all the other ones that he designated before, he's going to have to bring different ones, Rabbi Eliezer would say. So in other words, he had designated that he's going to bring such and such animals for the Korban. Now it turns out, now he became Tomei after the blood of one of them was sprinkled. Now, according to the second explanation, the Mefarish, then Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that he has to bring new animals for all of the, other ones, and he can't bring any of the animals that he had said so far. Now, why would that be? The Mefarish doesn't explain why, but it might be because it might be based on the idea that the Gemara mentions in a few places, the question of whether Balei Chayim Nidchin. You have a concept called Dichui. You have a concept in Halacha where something was available for a mitzvah and then becomes unavailable for whatever reason. Now, later on, does it ever become usable for that mitzvah again? So you have opinions about it in Shas, in particular, whether Balei Chayim Nidchin or not. Rabbi Eliezer, the Mefarish's explanation, second explanation of Rabbi Eliezer, may be based on the idea of Balei Chayim Nidchin. Even though they are living animals, nevertheless, the fact is, they were designated for his korban, but now he was nidcha because now he became tomei, and now he can't bring the rest of them now. Therefore, he would hold that they remain nidcha, and therefore you have to start over again with new animals.
So this if let's say the animal had a mum that heals, fine.
So a mum is something else. That's right.
That's right. That's understandable.
So everybody agrees that that's not considered nidcha. Then once the mum is healed, then that's fine again. In fact, the opinions that say that Balei Chayim are not nidchin learn it from that. The opinions that say that Balei Chayim nidchin say that that's an exception to the rule.
Because if the person I understand is being nidcha instead, but why the animals, those animals?
Because the fact is, those animals can't be brought as a carbon.
Can you sell to someone else and switch it with here's ready to be used.
The pashtus, it would mean that you'd have to wait until it develops a mum and then sell it and then use the money for a similar kind of carbon. Okay. Anyway.
The head's kedusha.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, of course the head's kedusha. You designate it as a korban. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer means, soser. He means soser, korban noisav. So again, according to the first explanation, means that whichever korban he brought so far, he has to bring again. And according to the second explanation, it would mean that he'd actually have to bring new animals for all the korbanos.
Does the Gemara bring down where the reason, based on what's looking at, that the korban he brought already is not good?
Well, that's what Rabbi Eliezer is saying, because Rabbi Eliezer is saying, in effect, that since we learned before that you have to bring all of the korbanos in order to be able to drink wine, then it means, in effect, it's considered as though it's all one korban. So therefore, Tosfos spells that out, that we consider it as though it was one big korban. At that, when he brought one korban, he's not yet roy to shave because he didn't yet bring all of them. So therefore, it would be the equivalent of him becoming korban, of him becoming tamei before he brought any of them. So therefore, so the one that he brought is as if he brought it toich malois, is as if he brought it during the time of the nazirus, and therefore it's no.
I know we had the Gemara back and forth mm-hmm. for a while. At which point did the Gemara come to us, kind of, when do you burn the hair? By the first korban?
We said that you burn it under the shlomim. We said that b'dievet, if you burn it under the other korbanos, it's fine. What we said, we had a machloikas, which korban is brought first? Was it the shlomim that was brought first, or was it the hadas that was brought first? Yeah. But here, that's not really relevant to this. Anyway, here we're talking about whatever. It doesn't matter whether he shaved or not.
If he shaved when he was still tired, and he bought his first korban, and then became tamei.
But that's what Rabbi Eliezer was saying, no good, yeah. So the Gemara says, "Hachinam in the Stavra." In fact, that seems to be logical to understand Rabbi Eliezer that way. Because the Chachamim are saying that she should bring, or in the case of a man, he should bring the rest of his korbanos and become tahor, meaning the other way around, they become tahor and then they bring their korbanos. But whatever, Shmamina, that shows that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are not arguing about the number of days that they have to wait, just about whether the korbanos that they brought so far are good. And the Gemara continues by quoting from the Mishnah, "Umaisam nami b'Miriam haTalmudis," and thus the Chachamim are bringing the example of Miriam haTalmudis, "Shemizuch alei achav min adamim," where the blood of one of the korbanos was sprinkled on her behalf, "Uvo v'odiu al bita shahisa mesukenes," and they informed her that her daughter was dangerously sick, "v'alchol matzah shemesa," and she went and found that her daughter was dead, of Amacham Tabi Shakur and Isavatitar, and we said the Chachamim said that she, the Chachamim of the earlier generation, had said that she can bring the rest of the Korbanos and after she becomes to her. Shmamina, so again, that proves that the Chachamim are not, on your Eliezer, are not arguing on whether they lose days, but just on whether the Korbanos that they brought so far are good, or whether they have to, new Korbanos. So actually, the Gemara seems a little repetitious because it uses the word Shma Mina twice. First it's saying, you say, because the Chum say, Tovi Shalkub and Esevetator, Shma Mina, and then it goes and brings the story with Miriam HaTalmudis, and again says, Shma Mina. So the Birkas Roish actually explains, the Tosfos says something, which the Birkas Roish explains, that actually the Gemara is bringing two proofs. Number one, you see that Rabbi Eliezer is saying you only lose the korbanos, you don't lose any days. And second of all, you also learn that even though normally the Chachamim say, we learned this previously, that if a nozer becomes tamei achar malois, usually they lose 30 days. We learned earlier in the Masechta that the Chachamim hold that if a nozer becomes tamei during the days of their nezirus, then they lose the entire nezirus. But if they become tamei after the days are over, let's say it was a 100-day nezirus, to use an example from earlier in the Masechta, then the Chachamim are saying they lose the whole thing. Rabbi Eliezer is saying only that. So let me rephrase that. If you have, for example, we learned earlier in the Masechta, 100-day nazirus, if they became tamei up to and including the 100th day, the Chacham are going to say you have to start all over the whole 100 days. Rabbi Eliezer says you only have to lose 30 days, but if it was Achar Malois, if you became tamei on the 101st day, then the Chacham are saying you lose only 30 days, and Rabbi Eliezer says you lose only 70. So even though usually the Chachamim say that Achar Malois, you lose 30 days, here they're not saying that. Here, that would only be if you didn't bring any korban yet. But again, since the Chachamim hold against Rabbi Eliezer that all you need is one korban, and then you're already mutter, then you're already no longer a nazir, therefore they hold that now you're also not losing 30 days, even though had the Tumah happened a little earlier before you brought any of the korbanos, then they would say you lose 30 days, but now having brought one of the korbanos, then they're saying it saves you that. So that's the two Shmaminos in the Gemara. Number one, you should be aware that Rabbi Eliezer is holding that you don't lose any days at all. And number two, you should be aware that the Chachamim are also saying you don't lose any days at all, even though normally they would say, in a case like that, you ought to lose 30 days.
So Acham Alois doesn't do anything for Chacham. This doesn't mean anything.
Because that's the thing. Because it's not only Acham Alois, but it's after bringing one of the Korbanos. Right. So therefore, that's the one.
And there's the reason why the Chacham say not 30 days, but the whole 100 days again?
That's because we learned before, the Pasuk says, Hayom HaMoreshonim Yitzluf Yitam in Israel. So they hold that that applies even if it was, as long as it was B'Sorich Malois, as long as it was during the time of the Nazirus, then the whole thing, yeah. That's what we had before. We had the story of Hilni Amalka, and it was 7 years, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Hadron Alach Shalishim. Okay. Now, this perek and the next perek, we're going to focus mainly on the dinim of Tumas Nes of a Nazir. We know that a Nazir is not allowed to become Tumas Nes, so we're going to get into the details of what kind, among other things, what kinds of Tumas make him lose all the days and have to bring Korbanos Tumah, and what kinds not. We're going to talk about, we mentioned briefly in the previous perek that, that a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol have to become Tomei Nes for a Nes Mitzvah. So we're going to talk about that point. And we're going to talk about, generally, a number of important concepts in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara are going to be in these next two Parakim as well. Not just in reference to a Nazir, but in general as far as the Halachos of Tumah V'Tahara. So the Mishnah starts off. Kohen Gadol and Nazir ain't mitam in the Kriveim. A Kohen Gadol or a Nazir are not allowed to become Tomei for the relatives. A regular Kohen is allowed to become Tomei for any of his 7 close relatives, parents, children, brother, unmarried sister, or wife. But a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir not. However, they can become Tomei for a Mes Mitzvah. Tosfos actually takes out those words because we're going to see the Gemara is going to deduce that from the Mishnah. So the fact is that if it was explicitly right there in the Mishnah, then the Gemara wouldn't have to learn it out from the wording of the Mishnah. So it is in fact the halacha. They are Mitamah for a Mes Mitzvah, but it doesn't actually say it in so many words in the Mishnah. Instead, we derive it from what the Mishnah is. We derive it from the Lashon of the Mishnah.
So you mentioned that if it happens to be, it's a Kohen Gadol.
That's what we're going to talk about now. Suppose that a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir are walking on the road together, Umatsu Mes Mitzvah, and they find a Mes Mitzvah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. So now the question is, which one of them should become Tomei? Which one's kedusha is greater than the other? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yitama Kohen Gadol va'Yitama Nazir. Rabbi Eliezer says better the Kohen Gadol should become Tomei and not the Nazir, for reasons that Rabbi Eliezer is going to explain in a second. The Chum say the Nazir should become Tomei rather than the Kohen Hedyot. Now, the word Hedyot over here is interesting because we were talking about a Kohen Gadol, but the fact is that the Chumim are saying that even a regular Kohen, in other words, it's true a Kohen is able to become Tomei for a Mes Mitzvah, so is a Kohen Gadol. Nevertheless, as the Chachamim are going to argue, the Kedusha of a Kohen is greater than the Kedusha of a Nazir, even a regular Kohen, and therefore when it comes to a Mes Mitzvah, if there's a choice in the matter, the Nazir should be the one to become Tomei.
Okay, this is going to be just done before about Miriam going to her daughter. It was obvious that might happen, and she went.
Okay, fine. Her daughter's not a Mes Mitzvah, that's different.
But we just said now, Kohen Gadol and Nazir not supposed to be in the Tamter family.
But at this point, one of the bloods had already been sprinkled, but yeah. Okay, anyway. Omalahem Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says, I'll tell you why you time a Kohen. I'll tell you why better the Kohen should become Tomei than the Nazir. Yitamei Kohen, Shainim Nevi Korban Al Tumasin. Because better let the Kohen become Tomei. He doesn't have to bring a Korban for becoming Tomei. He's also to become Tomei, fine, but when it's a Mes Mitzvah, then it's different, but he doesn't bring a Korban for it. Ba'al Yitamei Nazir Shul Nevi Korban Al Tumasin. Whereas the Nazir is going to have to bring a Korban if he becomes Tomei. So doesn't that mean, therefore, that the Kedusha of the Nazir is greater than the Kedusha of the Kohen? So therefore, it should be the Kohen who becomes Tomei. Amrulai, but the Chum answered him, no, on the contrary. Yitamin Nazir shen kedushas kedushas olam. The Nazir should become Tomei because his kedusha is not forever. Most Nazirim is only for a period of time. Stam Nazir is shloshim yom. Even if you have, Tosfos points out, even if, let's say, he's a Nazir olam, nevertheless, basic Nazirus is 30 days, and therefore the fact that he chose to take on Nazirus olam doesn't necessarily mean, and besides that, also, other Mefarshim point out, there are other angles on it also. even a Nozer Olam, after all, his Nezirus began at some point during his life. He wasn't born a Nozer.
And also, it's guaranteed so, that you'll get tummy once.
Well, not necessarily. No, a person could go through his whole life not becoming tummy. But the point of the Meiri and Rabbeinu Azriel point out that, after all, even a Nozer Olam, there was a time when he wasn't a Nozer yet. Then he became a Nozer, as opposed to a Kohen, was born with his Kedusha. The Rashash points out also, there's another point also, a Kohen's status as a Kohen goes to his children as well. A Nozer's does not. So for all those reasons, the Chachamim are saying, therefore, so it's true what you're saying, Rabbi Eliezer, that a Nozer brings a Korban. On the other hand, we see that in many ways, the Kedusha of a Kohen is greater than the Kedusha of the Nozer. So better let the Kohen not become Tomei. If there's a choice of the matter where his Kedusha is forever. So even though, yes, that means the Nozer is now going to have to bring Korbanus and is going to have to start his Nezirus over again, and so on and so forth, that's still better than a Kohen becoming Tomei.
The Gemara speak about it. Let's say another says family pass away. Only another 30 days is he allowed to become tummy for?
No, he's not allowed to become tummy for any relative. The pasuk spells it out. So we're going to learn from that he could become tummy for a mess mitzvah. We're going to go through over there why it needs to mention all those four relatives but that's how it is.
Even though it's only a 30 day thing.
So even though it's only the 30 day.
Yeah. His own father's
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Nazir can Matami himself for a family member or not?
No, he can't be Matami himself for a family member. That's the point. The pasuk spells out for his father, his mother, so then, for his brother, his sister. He can't become tummy.
So then logically, indeed, the Kohen should be able to matam himself.
He were not talking about a relative. He were talking about a mess mitzvah. Talking about a mess mitzvah. Yeah. Nozer and a Kohen are walking down the road and they find a mess mitzvah. The Chachamim are saying, even though it is true that the Nozer, both the Kohen and the Nozer are equal as far as that they both have a heter to be metame for the mess mitzvah. A regular Kohen, in addition, has a heter to be metame for his relatives, but that doesn't help us over here because this isn't a relative. So now the Chachamim are saying, within...
One second. Yeah. If you say that the Nozer, cannot matame himself for his family, his kedusha is greater than the Kohen.
No, because the Kohen, that's true as far as family, but as far as a mess mitzvah, they're both equal. As far as
it's
a mess
true, mitzvah, it, no, it's true in any case.
No, that's how it is. They have the Kohen. Has
well, it's impossible to. It's impossible. It's impossible to say that the Kohen has more kedusha, because if that was the case, then the Nazir should, in other words, in any case, be matame himself before the Kohen.
No. What we're saying is that the as far as relatives, the Torah carves out an exception for regular Kohenim, not for a phone bottle, but as far as a mess mitzvah, they're both equal. But now, within, you're saying they're both equal. The Kohen, the Chachamim was saying, has greater Kedusha than the Nazir because his Kedusha is Kedushas Olam, whereas the Nazir is not.
So that's the point. You cannot split the Kedusha for one case and then to the other. It has to be permanent, the Kedusha. It cannot change from one situation to another.
It can. We're saying the Kedusha of a Kohen, that prevents him from becoming Tomei Mess, is greater than that of a Nozer. However, you have this particular detail that the Kohen has an exception for his relatives, whereas the Nozer does not. But other than that, the Kedusha of the Kohen, the Chachamim are saying, is greater than that of the Nozer because he's Kedusha Sir Kedusha Sir. Yeah. So let's go on. We're going to be discussing all of this in some detail in the Gemara about how we know that a Nozer becomes Tomei for a Mess Mitzvah and how we know that a Kohen does. We're going to have a long discussion about it extending over a couple of blocks. So the Gemara starts off. Vishleim a Kohen Gadol a Nozer. Now, it's easy to understand when it comes to a Kohen Gadol and a Nozer, in other words, like we had in the Mishnah, a Kohen Gadol and a Nozer are walking down the street and they find a mess mitzvah. And by the way, the word Bishleima over here is a little unusual in this regard. Usually Bishleima means it's easy to understand that such and such. But what about few. We're using it more in the sense of the Gemara elsewhere uses the word pshita for this purpose. Pshita, it's obvious that Kohen Gadol v'Nozer, then we have what it says in the Mishnah. And then we're going to go on to ask, what about other scenarios? Anyway, so Kohen Gadol v'Nozer, so we understand. We have the Machalukas in the Mishnah. Hai Sova Kohen Gadol Adif, Hai Sova Nozer Adif. So we understand. Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Kohen Gadol, the Chachamim rather hold that the Kohen Gadol, for that matter, a regular Kohen, is greater than the Nazir, and therefore the Nazir should be the one to become Tomei. Bahai Sava Nazir Adif, whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Nazir is greater and therefore the Kohen should become Tomei. Now, let's start asking within Kohenim themselves, or within Kohenim Gdolim themselves. Now, we know there are two types of Kohen Gadol. There is what's called Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, and there's Merubah B'Godim. The way that the Kohen we had in the parasha that we just had this week, we had Hashem tells Moshe to make the Shemen HaMishcha, and among other things, the Kohenim Gdolim are supposed to be anointed with it. So now, what happened was, Aaron and his sons were anointed with it, and after that, every Kohen Gadol after that is anointed with Shemen HaMishcha. Kohen Gadol, that is, yeah. Every Kohen Gadol after that is anointed with Shemen HaMishcha. That lasted until the times of Yoshiyahu, about 30 odd years before the Churban. Yoshiyahu realized that this Mikdash is soon going to be destroyed. Yeah, the whole thing, they found the Sefer Torah over there. It was rolled to a part in the Toshacha that the Yidden are going to go into Golos. He sends people to ask Chulda Hanaviyah, and she confirms that, yes, there's going to be a Churban and a Golos because the people are worshipping Avodah Zarah and doing other Avodas, whatever. Anyway, Yeshayahu then realized in that case we can't allow the great treasures of the Jewish people to fall into the hands of the Goyim. So that was when he had people hide away the Oren with the Luchos, and then the Kurubim, and several other things. One of the things they hid away was the jar of Shemen HaMishcha. So after that, So any Kohen Gadol who was appointed after that, instead of being appointed by being anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, instead he was appointed by, he would wear the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol, and that would make him officially, now he's the Kohen Gadol. That's called Merubah B'Godim. Merubah, he's made greater B'Godim with the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. Anyway, so now let's talk about, the Gemara says, Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha U'Merubah B'Godim. Suppose that you have two Kohenim Golim, one who was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, and the other one who was appointed by dressing in the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol. Now, how do you have two of them at the same time? You could have, for example, let's say that the original Kohen Gadol was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha. Then he had to leave office for a while because of Keri or because of a mum or whatever. And the next Kohen Gadol who was appointed was already after the Shemen HaMishcha was hidden away. And therefore he's only Merubah B'Godim. So now you could have, both of them could be alive at the same time. So now the question is, which one should be the one? Both of them have the same dinim of a Kohen Gadol. Which one should be the one to become Tomei for this mess mitzvah?
If they're both
walking down the street. Yeah.
One comes back and one loses his thing.
Well, that's the thing. So the answer is, Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha Adif, the one who was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha is greater because he has one advantage. Dila Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, maybe Para Bar Palamitzvah. The Kohen Gadol who was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha brings a special korban. If he makes a mistake in certain areas of halacha, then now like this you have a regular person who commits any of various averus that makes him chayav achatos, he brings a female sheep or a female goat. If it's a king, he brings a male sheep or a male goat. In the case of the Kohen Gadol, only a Kohen Gadol with Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, then he has a special para bar kol mitzvahs, then he has a special korban, a bull that he brings as a chatos, where he brings the blood into the heichal and sprinkles it in front of the parochas, and instead of burning a murim on the mizbeach and the rest of the chatos being eaten by the kohenim, instead the whole thing is burnt outside the machna. So this is a special thing that applies only to the Kohen Mashuach. Only to Kohen Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. Because that's how it is. It's one of the chazos where we say in every day in davening, Parim HaNisrafim, or Seirim HaNisrafim. This is one of the Parim HaNisrafim. That's how the Torah says. So he may be Par HaBar Kol HaMitzvahs. He brings that special power that comes for any of the mitzvahs that he might violate. V'ilam Merubah B'Godim Ein Mevi. Whereas a Merubah B'Godim does not. If a Merubah B'Godim does such an Avera, he brings a regular chatos, a regular female sheep or female goat, just like any regular yid. So in that sense, therefore, the Merubah B'Godim, the Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, is greater because he has that particular mitzvah. And then, and in particular, the Mefarish explains, that means, in effect, therefore, it means he is almost like the tzibur then. We know the same concept applies to the tzibur. That if the Beistin, if the national Sanhedrin makes a similar mistake in halacha, and they are matir something, which is really also, and which would be chayiv kares, and most of the people follow them, then the tzibur brings a similar korban, a par helam gavashal tzibur, and same kind of thing. It's the blood is brought into the heichol, and the kohen sprinkles it, and so on and so forth. So, and in general, by the way, you have the rule, you're asking why it has to be burnt outside the machna. The general rule is any chatos whose blood is brought into the heichol has to be burnt. The pasuk mentions it in Parashat Tzav. So anyway, the point is, so in that sense, therefore, the Kohen Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha is almost like a mini tzibur. The same way as the tzibur brings this korban, if they made a mistake in halacha and followed that mistake, the same way the Kohen Gadol does a similar kind of thing if he himself passed in halacha for himself and then followed it wrong.
The Gemara
explains elsewhere that they raise money for the purpose. But yeah, it comes from the tzibur. Yeah, it comes from money of the tzibur. The point being, in other words, therefore, the Kohen Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha is greater. So therefore, his Kedusha is greater. Therefore, it should be the Kohen Medruba B'Gadim who's going to be the one to become Tomei in the Sinai. Now, continues the Gemara. Here's another example. Mashuach She'ovar U'Meruba B'Gadim. What about if you have a Kohen Mashuach who left office, and then you have also Meruba B'Gadim who is currently serving? So in other words, the difference is the previous case was talking about, let's say, that the first Kohen who was Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha was only he became a Baal Keri, let's say, and then they had to appoint another one with Ribu B'Gadim. So actually, Tosfos and the Rosh explain like this. The difference is, it's not the case of Keri. You have like the first case that we were describing in the Gemara is, suppose, for example, that the original Kohen Gadol was Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha. Now let's say he had to leave office for a long period of time. Let's say he became a Baal Mum and it took months for the Mum to heal, or let's say something else, whatever. Anyway, the point is that once the replacement has served, if the replacement only serves for a short time, then fine. As soon as the original Kohen Gadol is back, then the new one is called Kohen Gadol She'ovar. He now leaves office and the original one resumes his office. But now, let's say it was several months or a long period of time that the first one was out of office and the second one has been serving as Kohen Gadol for a considerable period of time, then we don't demote him. Then we have, in effect, what you have right now is two Kohen and Gadol. So fine, when it comes to the Avodah of Yom Kippur, only one of them is going to do the Avodah. But other than that, which one? The Pashtus is the original one. But the point is, the other one is not going to be a Kohen She'ovar, because that would only be if he only served on a very temporary basis. Here, where he served on a longer term basis, we don't demote him. So that was the first example. So now we can have a Mashuach, B'Shem and HaMishcha, and Meruba B'Gadim at the same time. And we're saying they're walking down the street. Now we're having another scenario. Kohen Mashuach, we're having Mashuach She'ovar. The one who was Mashuach who left office, and Meruba B'Gadim, and then we have right now a Meruba B'Gadim who right now is serving as Kohen Gadol. Because the question is, on the one hand, the one is Mashuach Mochach, the one is Mashuach. So in other words, what happened was, the scenario would be over here that you have a Kohen Gadol who was Meruba B'Gadim, he was supposed to serve on Yom Kippur. He became Tomei became a Baal Keri or something. So instead, they anointed a new Kohen Gadol to serve instead of him. So now, after Yom Kippur, when the first one is available again, then he takes back over, and the first one, the second one rather, the one who was Mashuach, is not able to do the Avodah, because he's not able to do the Avodah. The Gemara elsewhere explains, because there's the problem of Eva. There's the problem that there's going to be bad feeling between them, because the second one, the one who was temporarily disqualified and replaced, is going to think to himself, the other one is serving as, is continuing to serve as Kohen Gadol, when he had to take over from me for a day or two, fine, but now he continues to serve as Kohen Gadol. What is it, like he's trying to undercut me? Is he like waiting, he can't wait until I die and then he can take over, or something like that? So therefore, Medir Abanan, the one who temporarily served on Yom Kippur is not allowed to serve again. So that's what the Gemara is going to ask them. The fact is, he was anointed with Shemen HaMishka. Does that maybe upgrade his status? If they were both Merubah B'Godim, and one is in office and one is not, of course the one who's in office has greater Kedusha, because he's the one doing the Avodah on Yom Kippur, and he's the one, yeah. But like this, where the replacement who served for a day or two was Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishka, then maybe that gives him precedence.
But the original, does it make sense that the original should not be
Meshuach? So Tosfos and the Rosh point out that, one second, if you have the one who was the regular Kohen Gadol was Merubah B'Godim, so we're talking after the Shemen HaMishka was hidden, so how would they be able to anoint this replacement one to serve on Yom Kippur? So therefore, so Tosfos and the Rosh both explain that the scenario is you actually have three people involved. You have, like this, there was Reuven, who was anointed as Kohen Gadol. Then you have Then Shimon, he became Tomei, so they anointed Shimon to replace him on Yom Kippur. Now Shimon leaves office, because after Yom Kippur, Reuven is available again, so he resumes as Kohen Gadol. Now, meanwhile, time passes, the Shemen HaMishka is hidden away. Now, let's say Reuven has gone into Golos. So now they appointed, went into Golos, so even the Rosh says he passed away, and now they appointed a new replacement Kohen Gadol late. Now why wouldn't they appoint Shimon? So if we say that Reuven had gone into Golos, then Tosfos says we still don't want to appoint Shimon. You still have the problem of Ava, because Reuven is still alive and he's going to have bad feelings towards Shimon that he's completely taking him over. The Rosh says a different scenario. We're talking about that it's true, Reuven has passed away, so now Ava is not an issue. However, what could happen is, let's say you could have Levi as a greater Chacham and deserves to be Kohen Gadol more than Shimon, or it could be, for example, he says that we find different Gemaras that we know there were Kohenim Gadolim appointed by the kings. Sometimes you had the ones who paid money for it. Sometimes you had for various other reasons. We actually, for example, there's a story the Gemara tells it briefly. The Tosefta tells it in more detail about a Kohen Gadol in the times of Hurdus, who had to take over from the other Kohen Gadol, because the other one had become Tomei with Tumas Keri, so he had to take over for Yom Kippur. Afterwards, he goes over to Hurdus and starts trying to hint to him that, you know, I want you to appoint me Kohen Gadol permanently, and Hurdus tells him absolutely not, and this guy Yosef ben Alam realizes that he's never going to get to serve as Kohen Gadol again. So there you have an example where there were Kohen and Golem who were appointed by the whim of the king. So therefore you could have that scenario. So you could have again, according to Tosfos, the vote would be, you have Reuven was Mashuach, Shimon, who replaced him for one Yom Kippur, was also Mashuach. But then Reuven has now been taken into Golos, as you had at the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, that at least one of the Kohen and Golem was taken into Golos. Because that's talking about Golos Yechoniah 11 years before the Korban. So now they don't appoint Shimon as the new Kohen Gadol, because that would create bad feelings between them, Ava. So instead they appoint Levi. So now you could have that you have Shimon, who's a Mashuach She'ovar. He was anointed with Shemen HaMishka, and he did serve one Yom Kippur, but now he's out of office. And now you have Levi, who's the acting Kohen, who's the currently serving Kohen Gadol, who's Merubah B'Godim. That's according to Tosfos. The Rosh, again, gives the scenario a little bit differently, that Reuven has since passed away, and the reason why, so now, by rights, Shimon maybe should have been appointed, but Levi deserved the position more, or Levi was appointed by the whim of the king. And for that reason. Either way, the point is that now you have Shimon and Levi. Shimon, who was Mashuach and did at one point serve as Kohen Gadol, but now is out of office, and Levi, who's Merubah B'Godim, and is currently in office. So now the question is, if you have those two, well, then the answer is Merubah B'Godim Odif. Now the one who was Merubah B'Godim and is currently serving as Kohen Gadol, the Merubah B'Godim Obed Avodah, because after all, he gets to do the Avodah, via Mashuach She'ovar La'ba Avodah, whereas the Mashuach She'ovar is not doing the Avodah, again, because you have the problem of Ava, Well, the point is that still, the point is that Levi is now serving, and if Shimon also sometimes serves as Kohen Gadol, then that's going to create Ava. You also have the issue the Gemara mentions elsewhere. Once Shimon has served as Kohen Gadol, wearing the eighth Begodim, then in future, forever after, if he's going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to have to be with Shmoyim Begodim. He can't downgrade back to four, because Ma'alim HaKodesh Shlomo Yerid. So, and then if you were to serve with eight, then it's going to create Eva between him and Levi, who's the currently serving Kohen Gadol. Yeah. Okay, so then therefore, so it becomes obvious, therefore, that in that case, if now Shimon and Levi are walking down the road and they find a mes mitzvah, then it should be Shimon who becomes Tomei. He was Mashuach B'Shem and Mishcha, but the fact that Levi is currently serving as Kohen Gadol gives him greater
Kedusha. So there's two Kohen Gadol.
It's not really vacation per se. I mean, the Rambam in fact says that the Kohen Gadol is really not supposed to leave Yerushalayim at all. But again, you could have he was sick, he became a Baal Keri, he became a Baal Mum, or he was taken into Gadol. Yeah. Okay. Next, continues the Gemara. Ova Machmas Tiruya, Ova Machmas Mumay. What if you have two former Kohen Gadolim, one who had to leave office because he became a Baal Keri. So right now, in other words, we're talking today. He's temporarily Tomei, and one because he developed a mum. So either way, definitely Ova Machmas Kiroya Odif. Obviously, the one who left office because of Keri is greater. Deilu Hai Chazil Avodah L'Mocha, because after all, he will be roy to do the Avodah the next day, or he needs a Tzvila and head of Shemesh. V'ilu Ova Machmas Mumu Leichazi, where LaAvodah, whereas the one who left because of a mum is not going to be roy for the Avodah, maybe not forever, maybe not until the mum heals, as the case may be, but whatever the case, he's out of office for a considerable amount of time. So therefore, the one who left because of Keri is going to be the one with the greater Kedusha, and therefore the other one should become Tomei. Tosfos, by the way, points out that, so what are we talking about over here in some of these scenarios? If we're talking about over here that they found the mess on Yom Kippur, then they can't bury him on Yom Kippur. They can't be over on a mitzvah daraisa. Even if it's a mess mitzvah. But Tosfos says what it could be is we're talking about that suppose that the mess is lying out in the sun. And he's going to spoil. So therefore, they want to be able to move him to a shady area. Moving him is also going to make them tummy. So now the question could be, which one is going to be the one to move him?
Well, I guess the Kayan and the Kandemur was strong, because I would say you need two people then.
Maybe, maybe not. But if you need only one person, then and keep in mind, it might not even be a complete mess. It might be a piece of a mess or whatever, yeah. So therefore, you have the same kind of thing. Okay. Now, though, the Gemara asks, so all of that we said so far was poshut. That the Gemara started off the Shlema, which we said usually the Gemara would use the word pshita for that. All of these things were obvious so far.
That's why we use Lashon.
That's why we use the word Bishlema. Yeah. Which means that it's easy to understand. But now comes a question. So now they have a question. Mashuach Mochoma Usgan. Suppose you have beside the Kohen Gadol, another Kohen who's specially anointed with Shemana Mishra is called Mashuach Mochoma. His job is that when the Jewish people go to war, he's the one who makes the announcements in Parashas Shoftim. Now, over there, that he says to the Jewish people, Shema Yisrael, Atam Krev Mayoyim, you're going to come today to fight against your enemies. Don't be afraid. Hashem is with you. And they make the announcements about anybody who got married, anybody who got engaged, or anybody who planted a vineyard, et cetera, should go home. Anybody who's fearful, et cetera. We're going to learn in a couple of months, Baz Hashem. We're going to learn at the end of Sota. We're going to be talking all about that. The next mistake after Nazir is Sota. So yeah, we're going to be learning it fairly soon, Baz Hashem. But anyway, so you have a Kohen who's specially anointed for that job, and he's called the Kohen Mashuach Mochama. So now, the question is, what happens if you have him and the Sgan, which is the deputy Kohen Gadol, whose job is that if the Kohen, in general, he's like the Kohen Gadol's right-hand man, but in particular, his job is, if the Kohen Gadol becomes Tomei, or otherwise unavailable, then the Sgan takes over. So now, if the Mashuach Mochama and the Sgan come across a Mes Mitzvah, which one Hey minai hu odif. Which one has the greater kedusha? Mashuach mochama odif techazi lemochama. Is the mashuach mochama greater because he's designated for war, meaning he's the one the Jewish people depend on him when they go to war. So first of all, he was anointed with the Shem and Amishka, which the Sgan is not. But second of all, you have that the Sgan, if the Sgan takes over as Kohen Gadol, then he's anointed, but otherwise not. The Mashuach Mochama always is. But anyway, Tosfos makes the point that what we mean is that he's Roy the Mochama, means in other words, Rabbim depend on him, that his job is to go and accompany the soldiers to war and to strengthen the morale of whatever, and therefore the Tzibur depends on him.
His chazak to get tum is greater during Mochama.
Yeah, because not necessarily, he doesn't actually go fight in the front lines of the Pashtus. He goes, he gives them the announcements or whatever, then they go to war. He doesn't necessarily actually pick up a sword and fight.
Doesn't go with them.
No, yeah, the Pashtus not, yeah.
So if he's morale, you have to go with him.
Fine, but he stays in the area, but he doesn't, yeah. So is his Kedusha greater because of that? Or maybe the Sgan is greater because he may end up doing the Avodah, because after all, if the Kohen Gadol becomes Tameh, then the Sgan is going to take over.
This guy's not Mashiach.
The Sgan is not Mashiach, unless he serves on Yom Kippur, then they would anoint him, or then they would be, or then they'd put the clothes on him as the case maybe, yeah.
Sgan's mentioned a lot by the Avodah, right?
So he's mentioned here and there. For example, when the Kohen Gadol does the Goyrol on the two goats, yeah, then the Sgan and the Rosh Beis Av stand on the two sides of him, right? But the basic idea of the Sgan is he does. I mean, he's an attendant to the Kohen Gadol, but his main role is that if the, you know, think of it Lahabdil, think of it like the president and the vice president, right? I mean, you know, the Lahabdil, Elif Alfei Havdalos. I mean, the vice president has certain roles, but officially their role is, you know, as they call them, you know, one heartbeat away from the presidency, right? You know, if the president drops dead or whatever, then the vice president takes over. So Lahabdil, here, you know, if the Kohen Gadol becomes unavailable, then the Sgan takes over. So that's the question. On the one hand, the Mashiach Muhammad, the whole tzibur depends on him. On the other hand, the Sgan is in line to be doing the avodah on Yom Kippur. So which is it? So Toshma, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Ein bein Mashiach Muhammad l'Sgan. There is no difference between Mashiach Muhammad and the Sgan, Ella, except for this difference. Shem hoyu mahalchim baderach u'motzim mes mitzvah. If they're walking on the road and they find a mes mitzvah, yitam Mashiach Muhammad ba'al yitam asgan. Then the Mashiach Muhammad should become tamei rather than the Sgan. Meaning, in other words, that we see the fact that the Sgan is potentially going to be doing the avodah on Yom Kippur. That makes him greater than the Mashiach Muhammad. Now, Tosfos points out, what do you mean that's the only difference between them? There's lots of differences between them. The Mashiach Muhammad, if he's going to serve in the Mishmikdash, serves with the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol, or maybe not, but at least when he, put it this way, rather, the Gemara ends up explaining over there that actually the Mashiach Muhammad does wear the regular four clothes of a Kohen Hadid. However, what it is when you're going to ask the Urim V'Tumim. Now, the Urim V'Tumim are in the Choshen. So if the Kohen Gadol was being asked, then he wears the eight clothes, of course. If the Mashiach Muhammad is being asked, then it's valid for the Mashiach Muhammad to be asking the Urim V'Tumim as well, then he puts them on, only for that purpose. But we see as opposed to the Sgan never does that, unless the Sgan actually ends up serving as Kohen Gadol. So that's one difference. You also have, for example, Tosfos says that the Gemara also elsewhere explains. Now we know there are a number of dinim that apply especially to the Kohen Gadol. He's not allowed to rip his clothes when his relatives pass away. He has to marry a besula. He's not allowed to marry an almona, etc. All of those rules also apply to a Mashiach Muhammad. They don't apply to the Sgan. So what do you mean? There's no difference between the Mashiach Muhammad and the Sgan except for the case of a mes mitzvah. So Tosfos explains, you're right. What the Gemara means is, we're trying to find where is there a kula about a Mashiach Muhammad compared to the Sgan. You have chumras in him, for example, that he can only marry a besula and they can't marry an amana and so forth. But what is a kula in him related to the Sgan is that he won't become tamei for the mes mitzvah and the Sgan, or the other way around, rather, the kula that he is able to become tamei in a case where the Sgan is not, namely the case of a mes mitzvah. So we're focusing on that, even though it is true that there are other differences, as well.
If he has to go to Muhammad any time, and he has to put the Urim V'Tumim, which I don't understand, the Kohen Gadol could do it if he's not available at that time, so then he also has to be ready to go to Urim V'Tumim, so then he shouldn't be able to come to me also.
But that's what we're saying, that nevertheless, the fact that the Sgan is in position to be actually doing the Avodah on Yom Kippur, that makes him greater than the Mashiach Muhammad, even though it is true, the Mashiach Muhammad might sometimes wear the eight clothes when he's going to be asking the Urim V'Tumim, but he's not actually doing the Avodah. The Gemara continues. V'hatanya mashroch melchama kodim maskan. What do you mean, though? So you're saying there's a braisa that's saying that in that case, the mashroch melchama should be the one to become tamei rather than the skan, meaning that the kedusha of the skan is great. But you have another braisa that says mashroch melchama kodim maskan, that says that the mashroch melchama comes ahead of the skan. So that means, in other words, that he's greater. So what does that mean? The answer is Amar Mazutra. There's a difference. Le'inyan hachiyosei. There's a difference as far as helping one of them live. Now you can have a case. Let's say, for example, both of them were in a building that collapsed, and you have to triage. You have to decide which one. You can't get them both out. You're going to have to choose one over the other. Which one you're going to get out first, for example, or let's say you only have the possibility of saving one of them. You could also have an example. Let's say, for example, both of them are poor and you need to give them stuck. Which one takes precedence as far as stuck? So as far as that, Mashuach Mochama Adif. As far as that, Mashuach Mochama is greater because my timer, the Tolobe Rabin, because like you said, the Rabin depends on him. As far as Lachayose, he comes first. But in Tuma, but as far as Tuma, then the first Braise is saying, Sgan Adif, then the Sgan is greater because, and why is that, Tanya? Because we learn in a Braise, Rav Chanina ben Antigna Sema, Lama Tiknu Sgan the Kohen Gadol, why Bechlal did the Chachamim make a concept that there should be a Sgan of the Kohen Gadol? And Tosfos brings a different Girsa also, why does the Sgan always stand to the right side of the Kohen Gadol? Shein Ira by Psul, that this way, if the Kohen Gadol becomes possible, Hare Nichas Mashamish Tachtav, then the Sgan will serve as Kohen Gadol instead of him. So as far as Tumah, the Sgan has the greater Kedusha, and therefore you don't want him to become Tomei, because the Sgan needs to be available to take over for the Kohen Gadol if necessary, and therefore you don't want him to become Tomei as much as possible. So even in a case of a Mes Mitzvah, you want to avoid him becoming Tomei as much as possible, and better let the Mashuach Mochamim become Tomei. But when it comes as far as Lacha Yosei, when it comes as far as Tzedakah, or saving lives, or whatever, then the Mashuach Mochama, because the Tzibur depends on him, therefore his, in a certain sense, you could say his life is more valuable than that of the Sgan.
Now, is this talking about a week before Purim, a week before Pesach?
Before Yom Kippur? No, the pastors are talking any time during the year. Anytime. It's true that you only need the Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. However, the Kohen Gadol can do the Avodah any other time during the year. In fact, he can cut the line, right, too. He doesn't have to wait until it's his Mishmo's turn. He can choose any korban he wants to offer, and so on and so forth. Right. So, right. But the Sgan always has to be available. There always has to be a Kohen Gadol. Let's put it that way. So there always has to be a Kohen Gadol, and the Sgan's job is to take over if the Kohen Gadol becomes unavailable. So therefore, we want to make sure that he stays Tahor as much as possible, even more than the Mashuach Mocham.
Even during the year.
Even during the year, Pashtos, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So fine. So that establishes the order of precedence between the various levels of Kohen. So now we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we're going to discuss. So where Tata do we look? This that we said in the Mishnah, that a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir are not allowed to become Tomei for their relative, but they're allowed to become Tomei for a Mes Mitzvah, where do we know this from? So now the Gemara is going to start. So we'll start tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll go through a Sugya that runs over the next couple of blocks, dealing with all the details of that, how we know that a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir are both the same as far as not becoming Tomei for their relatives, unlike a regular Kohen, and how we know that both of them are the same as far as becoming Tomei for a Mes Mitzvah.
I guess this is...
So, yeah. So, yeah, it continues into the next spot. So, yeah.